B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hometown heroes. He's incredible. This time of the year, too, man. I love it. It's all about college football. The great Kevin the Gandhi on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kevin!
Hey, Ed, how we doing, my man?
Yo, buddy. Listen, before we get into it, you got to indulge me. Before we talk about the local squads, I mean, dude, I did not see Michigan laying them a beating. I didn't say it again.
And it what's most amazing about that is they kept on going to the same thing. And I'm kind of stunned at the there was no, you know, you make adjustments, especially after a year, right? And what we saw a year ago, the snow and the physicality and that, you know, we're going to be as physical. There was no adjustments made by Ohio State. There was a certain type of arrogance.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, like, defensively, they didn't make anything where you thought, are they going to allow J.J. McCarthy to pick this team apart? I was blown away that there was no physical aspect of the Buckeyes after what they did a year ago. I'm still stunned because when you don't have Blake Corum there, you're losing a guy who's in the top three in the Heisman conversation coming into the game, the most important aspect of their offense. And I'll tell you what, that was a clinic by Jim Harbaugh, a straight clinic.
And he made Ryan Day. Let's be real here. You're exactly right. Like, he owned them. He owns them.
He owns them. And you know what? I'll add one thing. Harbaugh built this Michigan team the last 2 years to beat Ohio State. That was his goal. Yeah. And then we'll beat everybody else. But we will beat Ohio State specifically with this team. Honestly, Harbaugh, who dealt with all the pressure, took a pay cut, deserves all the credit in the world. And then it's foolish to anybody question Ryan Day in the sense of big picture, what he's done, impact and all. But then now the doubt starts to creep in, right?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I look at him sometimes, and I think with the level of player and the level of talent he has, they don't finish games sometimes.
Yeah.
I got lots of questions about Ryan Day. I'll be honest with you. As a game day coach, I got a lot of questions about him.
He's 45-5 at Ohio State.
I hear you, but again, I got that kind of. I'm playing in that conference, a lot of layups, and I've seen a lot.
You're measured by success against Michigan and how many playoff victories can you get? Right, that's how your measurement is.
Yeah, I mean, why? I'm going to laud you for beating Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's a really good point. You have the best wide receiver on the planet in the second half, Marvin Harrison Jr. And when you're in third and short situations, how come he's not touching the football? I look at the game plan and it felt like they were coaching scared in that second half.
Yeah. And look, I mean, look what he had last year. I'm watching Garrett Wilson and Olave rip up the NFL. Right?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a huge credit. You lose all that talent on the front line in Hutchinson and Ajabo. You don't have Blake Corum, and then you smash them at the shoe.
Yeah, that says something,
man. It's stunning, and it is stunning.
It really is. All right, let's go through with some of the other games, and I can't wait. So, do you agree with the four as it stands? Georgia won. Obviously, they got LSU in the championship game. Michigan 2, TCU 3, USC 4.
Yeah, I agree with all of it. I agree that it's unfair to TCU and USC where they play a bonus game this week while Ohio State and Alabama get a bye. And then if one of those two teams trip up, then all of a sudden these two guys can enter the conversation. I actually think Alabama's out. Because if TCU were to lose, TCU deserves to still be in the top four. Yeah.
Really?
If you look at what TCU has done against their schedule, I think TCU can afford. Now, again, I'm saying that, like, if they lose by, like, less than a touchdown to Kansas State. I'm not saying if they get the doors blown
off. See, I'll be honest with you. I got to ask. I got to come clean here. And you're a padre of college football, so I'll throw it by you. I am uninterested in TCU. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I rooted for them to lose because I think they're lucky. They ragged out a couple games. They're not good. I mean, that Big 12 stinks. Texas isn't even that good.
I will tell you that every single week we played the center. What if TCU loses and all they do is keep on winning? And when you look at how Ohio State got the doors blown off at home, and you look at how that season played out, you just knocked the Big Ten, right? Everybody else outside of Michigan and Penn State, right? Now that Penn State win looks better and better each week with Ohio State, considering how well Penn State played, right? It's really hard. It's hard to slide TCU out when they're playing the bonus game and they got to the conference championship and they've beaten everybody on their schedule. Not their problem that maybe you don't believe. And I think visually it's hard to, the Big 12 doesn't have like studs and stars, but they play really well. They got a really good quarterback in Duggan. They play really good defense. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. To your point, I bring this all up because let's just say TCU wins and USC wins. If you're the one seed, do you want to play USC? I think you would want to be the two seed to be matched up against TCU instead of playing that offensive USC in the first round.
I agree with you. Now, I don't like their defense at USC, but I agree that, that offense is nasty. I mean, that offense is nasty. I just give you I don't know. I'm sorry. That TCU. I mean, you.
Let's play a scenario on it.
Yeah.
I want to play a quick scenario on it.
Yeah.
Let's just say USC loses, right? That would be two losses to Utah. And Ohio State gets bumped up. And you're sitting there and you're.
I'd rather have Alabama than Ohio State.
I get it, but I think they're going to look at the value of the two wins of Penn State and Notre Dame over what you can make a case, and while Alabama's playing a little bit better, you can make a case that Alabama could be, a team that's 8-4. There are a lot of games. The Texas game, they didn't look that great. The Ole Miss game, they didn't look that great. They didn't look that great against A&M.
You're right. I mean, without a doubt, they had a couple.
But I will bring this scenario out. If you're number one Georgia, and Ohio State slides into the tournament, and in the first round you got to play Ohio State and then potentially Michigan. I don't know if you want the one seed.
No, you don't. Yeah.
TCU, and then you just sit there and you're like, all right, we've got Ohio State or Georgia in our second game. To me, it's a fascinating thing on how those teams play out in that 3-4, and do we get somebody like Ohio State to join the party and screw things up if you're the one seed?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. It really is. If there's ever a year where you wanted to see the expanded playoffs, it's this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. How exciting would that be, to see the venues and you have 12 teams and you get the chance to see Bama back in the conversation. You get to see, a handful of teams that were on the outskirts. But I got to tell you, this feels like a lot more parity than we've seen in a long time, and we've been so used to Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama.
Yeah.
It's one of those teams getting one of the top four seeds, and it will be very different. And I think good for the sport.
I agree.
I really believe that.
You get tired of the same themes. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm with you on that. And the other thing, too, is, hey, real quick, USC better watch out. Like, Utah's no joke.
No joke. And the physicality.
They could get beat by. Utah can win that game.
And you're 100% right. And it's in Vegas, and Kyle Whittingham is the motivator. Look, they already gave Caleb Williams the Heisman.
Yeah.
We already beat them, and they're already counting themselves. Kyle Whittingham is phenomenal with that.
He's a great coach.
Mindset that no one cares about us.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the matchup Friday night.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let me ask you this. Couple things I need you to weigh in on.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
One, the Eagles' defense. Dan Orlovsky was talking about the Eagles' defense. I cannot win a Super Bowl playing defense like this. Speaking in these proclamations in his voice. I like Dan, but come on, dude. I mean, let's be real here. The Eagles' defense, true or false, will preclude them from winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, man. I think Jonathan Gannon's approach will be the reason why I have pause about this defense.
Agreed. I agree with that.
That's my concern about, I'm still not sold on what Gannon's doing with the parts and pieces that he has and the approach that he has with the two D-backs who are phenomenal and why they play off so much and give them a little. Why are we giving them anything, right? Especially when you have two outstanding cornerbacks. Maybe last year that works, and this year it doesn't work, and I don't understand why it's applied that way. The running game, stop of the run, Jordan Davis the next 3 weeks will play critical for us and him coming back. But I think Dan is saying that for one reason. What are the two matchups? The Cowboys and the 49ers. I think when you look at the NFC and how it plays out, I think those are the two big.
Well, listen, I've said that. Well, you and I, in fact, talked about this. I think the Niners are their biggest threat. I would agree 100%. With that. You know,
the physicality and the weapons that they have.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I got to tell you, and it's a small thing, but I've been saying it for multiple weeks, and I know Les Bowen has as well, and I'm really concerned about the special teams, man.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
the way this team looks on special teams on coverage, both punting and kickoffs.
The
playoffs are about field position, right? Because everything's going to be matched up, and if you're giving an offense the ability to drive from their 40-yard line each and every time, what are we doing? It's week 13. How come we haven't gotten this figured out yet? That's what concerns me. The combination of Gannon's approach right now and what Clay's doing and how we're not getting better entering week 13 or week 14 entering December, that's where I'm starting to press the concern button here for the team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too. The special teams, and we saw the important, speaking of San Francisco, we saw them win a playoff game in Green Bay. In bad weather because of special teams.
Yes, exactly. Not Jimmy G, special teams. You nailed it.
So I feel you on that. All right, let me ask you another question. All right, speaking of Philadelphia sports. The Sixers, how do you feel, right? It's an open blanket question, but how are you feeling about the Sixers? Do you feel better? Are you still, because there's a lot of, there's like kind of a, people have a bad attitude toward the Sixers. I'm trying to come to grips with it. And I'm hoping that it's starting to kind of disappear a little bit. And they're kind of slowly getting back on board.
I think it'll get, that vibe that you're feeling is going to get better and better once January rolls around and February rolls around. I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, I have felt really good about this team playing without their three stars and how well they played and the depth that Morey has added, right? Like Melton, the development of Shake taking control. Tobias has been that consistent guy, knowing his role when the three guys are out and understanding that he's not the fourth option. He's got to kind of be the heart and soul of that team. I feel really good. And Niang's like, he gives a certain toughness we don't back down from anybody. And he gives us what that team needs, right? I feel really good about the team, to be honest with you. I really do. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those guys that panics or celebrates November wins.
Yeah.
But, man, the other night, the way they played, you know, against the Hawks, that's one of those, up, here we go again. No, they found a way. So, you know, you lose that game in Charlotte because it's a back-to-back, especially the night before where everybody's playing and they don't have the three top guys and they're exhausted. Okay, you know, those are the games you're like, ugh. But those are the games in November. You're just like, it's not going to affect us when we're in March and April making a run. The minutes these young guys are getting and that bench is getting right now plays a huge role when it comes to confidence and understanding what they're going to do and what they need to do when everybody comes back. And you know, Harden plays a role, a humongous role. Joel plays a humongous role. But I'm telling you, Zero is the heart and soul of this entire team. Whatever Maxey does and brings to the table, the energy these guys feed off of, I love everything about it. I am the biggest Tyrese Maxey fan, and I think he plays the biggest role on how far this team goes in the spring.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you, and the other aspect of it is Joel closing basketball game, playing
yes,
cleaner down
yes.
the stretch.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's playing really well, and that adage – because, you know, I was telling this story to Chewis. You remember this. Do you remember all the stuff about Allen? He can't close games. He's too small. Can't get a shot off. They're not going to give him, you know, he can't penetrate. Not a good enough shooter. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, listen, to the degree, they weren't wrong. But, you know, we have talked about closing games for a long time. And when it comes to Joe, it's cropped up again. And it's been good to see him really play well down the stretch and close out situations. He's been clean with the basketball. He's delivered key buckets. And I think that's a big deal. That'll pretend the playoffs.
You nailed it. And also specifically you said he's been clean with the basketball.
Yeah.
Because that means errant passes or slaps where the ball pops out when he's getting a rebound.
We're trying to dribble too much.
Dribble too much. Are you throwing the ball across the court a little too high? Those small little things, I think he's fully aware of, man. I'm with you. I'm completely with you. And the crowd that's not with you right now, they'll come back on board in February. Trust me.
It's
the same vibe that we had with the Phillies. Same exact vibe where it's like we've seen this before. And then what did they do? Everybody came back when they made the run.
Yes. See, I hope you're right. And I believe you will be. But I really hope, because I don't want to see anyone jump ship on the squad.
No, and I don't think they will.
Yeah.
Listen, the East feels a wide open.
Yeah.
Much respect to the Bucks. I'll always respect whatever Giannis is doing in that team, and I understand the backstory of a couple weeks ago, which I actually love because that, to me, adds fire to a potential rivalry. But I feel like the East is wide open, and the Sixers are doing everything right in November to make sure they make the right run in February, March, and April.
All right, lastly, the best local commercial feeling an athlete, featuring an athlete. So,
wow.
So you remember all those local, you know, listen, you like me, you're watching TV all day long. In fact, do you have the BOA one you could play for? Kevin, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
This is
Darren Dalton?
Yes. Yes, this is awesome. Take a listen to this.
Next up, Darren Dalton. What? You're out of uniform.
Coach, Zuba stripes are in.
Dalton, you need glasses.
Right, Coach. Philly Zuba's glasses from McDonald's.
Score big at McDonald's with Philly's glasses in two hot Zuba's designs. Each only 79 cents when you order a bacon Swiss quarter pounder, a large fry, and a medium Coke Classic, or any other extra value meal.
Now what?
What you want is what you get at McDonald's today.
Wow! How about that, Dad?
You know, that's actually a fantastic commercial, and it brings back great memories, and shout out, rest in peace, Dutch. Like, back in the early 90s, like, BOA and that team at the vet, like, and Dutch carrying that team is great. I'll tell you, the local ones for me that always stand out, like, remember Glenn Wilson?
Oh, Glenbo.
Glenbo!
Yes!
Yeah, like, and
that was Prism.
Hawkins one. Yeah. The Percy Hawkins one where they get like really tight on him and he's like, till they try to guard me, and then he goes by you and he's doing something with the Sixers. Like, those are the ones I grew up in, you know, and you and I relate. We grew up in the same era. Those are the ones that always stand out to me.
It's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Yeah, you're the best, Cav. We love you, brother. Good stuff, man.
Appreciate you.
See you,
thanks,
pal.
Buddy.
The great Kevin the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.